The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Gary Capewell to look ahead to the best of the action coming up on Wednesday. We're going to look at one race at Nottingham as well as two at Wetherby. So one on the flat, two over jumps. And that's pretty much indicative of the racing at the minute, isn't it, Gary? There's a lot of action everywhere.
Yeah, it's mixed. The next couple of days like this, we're getting more and more of the jumpers coming out, obviously. Of course, Cheltenham, their first meeting Friday, Saturday, and... Yeah, the jumpers are slowly beginning to eke out some of the better ones, and obviously we're winding down with the flat now. Obviously we've got this Saturday and then the final Group 1 of the season next Saturday.
We'll start just by having a quick look ahead to Champions Day, obviously coming up on Saturday. Coming under fire a little bit at the minute because, well, of something that's completely out of their control, the weather. But they can control when they run Champions Day, and...
They can to a certain
debate,
extent.
Isn't it?
They can to a certain extent, can't they? They can't move it back any further. And to be honest, this is probably the only weekend really where they can run it without affecting everywhere else. I mean, if say they were to change it and move it into September, I still don't think you'd get all the horses running because some of them are going to go for the Arc, and that is going to be their aim. Mm. You move it a week after the Arc, it's the same problem. It probably could do with being ideally probably a month earlier.
But then it would clash
with the Ledger meeting and things like
that. You've got horses that ran at York that might not go there as a result.
Exactly. There probably is an ideal solution. But there isn't in terms of other tracks not wanting, you know. This idea to cut the track is an interesting one. How plausible it is, I have no idea. Mm. I mean, to cover an entire race course with, well, I don't know what it'd be. I mean, it'd be some kind of sheet, wasn't
yeah.
it? But I don't see how that, I mean, how plausible that would be. The moisture would still probably be in the ground, all the rain that would fall on top of it. And also, this time of year, the dews are a lot heavier as well, aren't they? It is where it is. There's a lot of money been invested in this, and I think the idea of perhaps covering the track is perhaps... I was going to say, I thought it was a silly idea when I heard it at first, but the more I think about it, the more it probably is maybe really the only ideal sort of solution to guarantee that at least we get good ground rather than... I mean, the first year it was okay because it was quite sunny, wasn't it? I mean, we have actually had a pretty dryish autumn to this point, albeit from the weekend onwards, we've had quite a lot of rain, haven't we? So,
yeah.
I mean, they are suspect to the weather, but ideally, I think you'd want the meeting to be run on good ground because that is okay for the horses on the quicker ground and the horses on the softer ground too.
The thing is, you've got. A clever little thing in the Racing Post here. It's got the top 3-year-olds and over in Europe 2014 by Racing Post ratings. 10 of the top 11 are not going to be running. There's only Sirius de Zegler that will be. That doesn't scream champions to me. What about you?
No, it doesn't. But I just wonder whether if it was guaranteed that the ground would be good, that would happen.
Mm.
I would imagine that a few of these that say Breeders' Cup, I mean, well, Magician won the Breeders' Cup turf last year, so that's always going to be his aim. Telescope wants the ground like a road anyway. Flincher, he could have ended up running here. Mm. Australia's been retired and Kingsman's been retired. Trev's finished for the season. They're a little bit unlucky there. That said, Australia was going to run and Kingman were going to run. Trev was never going to run, so you can scrap that. Tagrood was probably never going to run. Ditto the Fugue. That would have gone to the breed. She would have gone to the Breeders' Cup if she had. So, it's not ideal what's happened. There's a lot of horses been retired and finished for the season. But I think if they knew there was guaranteed good ground, a couple of those, we would have had Australia and Kimmy. We would have had the top two.
Mm.
So it's a little bit unlucky in that respect. But I still like this idea of covering the track to make sure that we get the decent ground, or at least good ground. I think good ground is fair for everybody.
Yeah.
Because the horses that like a bit of juice this time of the year, it'll maintain it. But the fact that it's been covered means that it won't have actually got properly into the ground, which won't affect the top of the ground horses as well. I think it would be perhaps the sensible move, albeit how plausible it is, I have absolutely no idea.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Well, we're going to look at three races on Wednesday. Again, these horses will not be running at Champions Day, I think it's fair to say, especially this first race at Nottingham. It is a nursery over an extended mile, Class 5 event, with 11 runners going to post. In fact, that's a lie. It's already 9 runners, 2 non-runners already in Bucklebury and New Abbey Dancer. They don't go to post. Where should we start with this one then, Gary?
I suppose we better start with Referendum. Top of the weight, Sir Michael Stout Trains has had the requisite runs to get the handicap mark, made its nursery debut here at the track when holding every chance, I thought, finishing fourth. That was in a race won by Math Doom, was beaten three legs. It wasn't beaten that far, but the mark of 70, I think, was perhaps a little bit perhaps on the high side. I suppose it's difficult for a handicapper when he sees a Sir Michael Stout horse.
Mm.
It must be difficult. I mean, having done bits of handicapping myself, it is very difficult when you look at a horse and see who it's trained by and the pedigree or whatever, not to go, right.
Yeah, to just be a little
bit. If it was somebody else, this could easily be 60, 65, something like that, or somewhere in, somewhere in between.
Yeah.
You see the name S. Stout next to me, you're thinking,
influenced.
You are influenced a little bit, no matter what the handicapper says. Having done it myself, I know that happens. The one I'm going to go for here, anyway, I should mention, actually, we'll mention Simone on Time, actually, first, who's been second on his this one's last two outings, sorry, her last two outings. One of them came here. That was in a maiden. Renato de Souza rode that day. Richard Hughes rode when she was second at Wolverhampton last time out. Renato gets the leg back up on Wednesday afternoon. Dare I say it, that might be seen as a bit of a positive, considering he rode her when she was second on her penultimate outing. Berkshire Beauty is also of a little bit of interest for Andrew Boarding. Asheen Murphy rides that one, has had the three runs are shaped okay and has got the mark. But the one that I like is My Way Always, who finished third at Salisbury in a nursery when last seen. Wasn't beaten that far. Stayed on well in the closing stages that day, shaping as though this sort of trip was really going to help this gelding. He had run over 7 furlongs in the past to get his mark. They were in competitive maidens at Haydock, and indeed he ran in a nursery at Newmarket over 7 furlongs, where again he kept on, he kept finding this horse. Just looking at his breeding, Baltic King, I'm not sure what kind of sort of sire influence he has for horses, but if I'm just looking sort of some of his progeny, the likes of Ticking Katie, 14 Brass, Baltic Prince, Baltic Knight, they have all needed a little bit of a trip, or at least a mile or something similar to that, to perhaps show their best form. If you look at the most specific winner of his, Zimbama, he's been running over a mile and a quarter and a mile and a half. So I don't think this step up in trip will be of any worry to My Way Always. And I should imagine he might be a fair enough price as well. Adam Kirby has been booked to ride. In fact, probably won't be that much of a price. Just looking at the sporting, or sorry, the PA's
tissue prices.
The tissue prices, but you can never take those as too reliable a guide. They're just priced upon, But I should imagine My Way Always will go pretty close.
Okay, fair enough. My Way Always then in Nottingham's 2:10. We're going to switch codes now and go to Wetherby for the 4 o'clock. Handicap chase coming up over 2 miles and 4 furlongs. Class 3 event, 8 runners going to post. You've got a real mix here, Gary, of old timers like Tahiti Pearl and Fredo. Horses that perhaps have been a little bit frustrating but are in good nick, like Tregaro. And then horses making their first run of the season, like Foundation Man and Shadrach. Which one do you like?
Well, as as a long-term project, I do actually like Foundation Man. He's a huge horse, this horse. He won, I napped him when he won at Kempton last year. I also napped him when he was second here over this course and distance when he just got beat by My Idea. He probably should have won that race, if truth be told. But I saw this horse ran about this time last year, actually. In fact, he actually ran on the Itoxta card, which is taking place on this coming Thursday, a year ago. And he's just a bit clumsy. He was never going to show a great deal over 2 miles, but he actually managed to finish second that day. As I say, he can be a little bit clumsy in his obstacles, which would be a little bit of a concern. McCoy riding him has to be considered a positive. But he's a big horse, I should imagine. He's a bit stuffy as well. And first run of the season might not be the time to be with him. As you pointed out, Trigaro has been in pretty good form. Tahiti Pearl coming back here on the back of a break is a horse who I think we'll see a little bit more from this season. But the one I quite like is a horse who's been running pretty consistently on his runs this year thus far, and that is Deciding Moment of Bender Harnes. He managed to win at Stratford in May, and then he's followed up two solid efforts when finishing second behind the Romford Pele at Worcester in June. And then last time out, I was there at Etoxus to when he finished second behind Rock Chase Bullet in a handicap chase. That piece of form is actually quite strong. I think Rock Chase Bullet will actually turn out to be a lot higher than his marker currently. Jack Doyle takes the ride, no negative. He gets on well with the horse. Yeah. And in a race where there are a little bits of pieces of question marks about one or two of them, he will get the vote in that by 4 o'clock.
Yeah. Okay, Deciding Moment then. That race could have a nice each-way feel to it as well if all eight stay in. The final race that we're going to look at is the 4:35 from Weatherby. It is a novice's hurdle over 2.5 miles. 11 runners going to post in this one. And a few interesting types, Gary. Fort Worth is likely to be reasonably popular. John Drew O'Neill trains, AP McCoy rides, and you won't see many Mania colours, that's the one, running at Weatherby or indeed over hurdles. You've also got the likes of Gaelic Myth in there, Albee's Man, Lady Buttons. There's quite a few potentially quite smart types here.
Yeah, very much so. Fort Worth is a horse I like. I didn't see him, but he managed to win quite comfortably at Huntingdon, sort of a little bit later than this, round about this time last year. But you just look at his pedigree and it screams jumps, doesn't it? By presenting, stepping up in trip won't be an issue. I think this horse actually ran in a flat race as well. Maybe it was a point-to-point. But anyway, he's got plenty of experience anyway. Mm. And it'd be interesting to see how he gets on jumping. I think it was a point-to-point where he finished fourth in, actually. But anyway, Gaelic Myth is an interesting runner. He managed to win at Ludlow on his racecourse debut. Cut the corner, bit disappointing last time out, bit gassy at Hexham. I think that'll have taken the sting out of him. There are races to be won with that, but I'm not sure tomorrow is one of them. Montauf actually ran in the Derby. Richard Guest trains him. He used to be with Mick Shannon. Stamina won't be an issue for him for this 2.5 mile trip. He was running over 2 miles running in the Chester Cup and races of that like. Albee's Man was a pretty impressive winner when last seen at Worcester. But I think it's really difficult to get away from Fort Worth, providing he jumps okay. I'm sure John Joe will have him trained up to the minute. He has to rate the selection in that 4:35, but it's a race that I'm really looking forward to watching and indeed calling.
Yeah, should be a very good one. Thank you very much, Gary. Thanks for your time. Best
pleasure.
Of luck with those picks on Wednesday, and we'll catch up with you soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.